33. And it reads, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat that was ahead of was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves and because the winds was against it. Verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." I'm going to talk just from this simple thought. Surviving a storm. And I'm going to do this one different. I normally have 3 points. I got 13. That's how long we're going to work through this. Because what I want to do tonight is what I'm breaking down is I want to one word and then the other one is a model. The word that we're going to work through, the style of teaching we're going to walk through this text. If you want to ever make your church friends be jealous, it's called exegete. We're going to exegete the text. We're going to walk verse by verse, part of the verse by part of the verse. It's to literally break apart and dive into it, to exegete the text. But the way that we're going to approach the exegesis of the text is to approach it in a principle teaching. What does that mean? It means that I'm going to approach it in a way that you can apply it to your everyday life. In any storm you're dealing with, these 13 ways will help you survive a storm. I don't have 13 steps to your turnaround. I ain't got that. I got to survive the storm. Now, I can't help you get through whatever you're dealing with and tell you how to get out of it immediately. This ain't the get rich scheme. What this is how to survive this storm. Because it sometimes can try to take you out. Ooh. Amen. Let's go into this. I'm going to try to keep my cool. Y'all know, pray for me and with me. But writing this kind of took me out. So the first thing you got to do. Y'all ready for this? This is the hardest one to do. Stop sitting still. Watch this. Verse 22 is at the end of the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. If you want to know about the feeding of the 5,000, start at in chapter 14, verse 13. Jesus is feeding the 5,000. By the time he gets to verse 21, they're giving the information on how many people he fed. Verse 22, immediately after they finished feeding them, Jesus got them out of the way and put them on a boat. Y'all missed it. Can I pause there for a second? That some of us, the biggest struggle we have is success. We don't struggle with failure because we can tell ourselves, if at first you don't succeed, try again. But some of us get stuck at success. Because you fed them today, tomorrow you want to try it again. Oh, y'all don't want to talk with me. You lead one song good and all of a sudden you got a selection choice. Oh, y'all don't want to talk with me. You taught at one Women's Day conference. Now, all of a sudden, you accepted your calling. Y'all been on one date and all of a sudden you ready to get married. Success can cause a problem. Jesus says, and he says it so drastically, immediately when they finished feeding the people, when that miracle was over, he told them, come on. Let's go somewhere else. It's time to move on. You can't stay here no more. You can't keep doing. Well, preacher, why would you feel like that? That's not in the text. That's not spelled out for us in a way that we should understand. That's not very clear the way that you're trying to say that it is. I got Bible for it. The Bible says that when the disciples in Acts got afraid of what was coming on, they went back to the upper room. Because they were trying to reenact the success they had the last time they were there. Y'all don't want to talk with me. Because most of us don't struggle with failure. Our struggle is with success. Because we keep trying to make success happen over and over and over and over. Come on, y'all. You did a good job at it one time. Now that's all you want to do. Stop sitting still. How do you survive a storm? Watch this. How do you survive a storm? Stay where Jesus is. Whew. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? That was just my first one. I'm starting off light. But watch this. Let me give you some science for it. Let me give you some science. Science says this. It's easier to take something out of reverse and put it into drive than it is to start it moving at all. Watch this. If you want to get a dog's attention, okay, let me say it a different way. The old folks said it like this: dogs don't bark at parked cars. So if you're trying to get somebody's attention, you should be doing something. Y'all don't want to talk to me.
Amen.
That you keep trying to figure out where God is going to go next, when the next level that He's trying to take you to, that was just an example. Watch this. The feeding of the 5,000 wasn't for the disciples. That was for the people. And you spend so much time talking about this would have been good for somebody else. Woo! When you should have been focused on what was coming your way. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Let me move on to my next one. I got 13 of these. I got to get to these. They ain't going to be tonight, though. I'll tell you that. You got to stop sitting still. And the struggle with sitting still is it's comfortable because you've succeeded in that before.
Yeah.
You get comfortable at your seat. And now you're struggling because God says, watch this. It's right here in the text. Immediately. That one word. That's where I got to stop sitting still from. Immediately. Soon as that was over. The second one. The second one is I'm still in verse 22. Start following Jesus's directions. How do I stop sitting still? Listen for the next word God has for you. Whew. I'm sick of people living off of the word that God had for somebody else. I know all of they people. It ain't about they people. What has Jesus said for you? Woof. Y'all don't want to talk to me. You can't. You watch this. You can get saved on grandma prayers, but you can't get to heaven on grandma prayer. Woo!
Come on,
Lord.
I'm
doing good tonight. Yeah. You have to appreciate that this word from Jesus will take you to the next level of your life.
Yeah.
Watch this. That if you. Okay, can I bless you with something that's before the text we read, so to help you understand why he made them move? That the disciples told Jesus when he got ready to feed the 5,000, it wasn't enough food to feed the people in the town over. You can't hear me? Wait a minute. Can y'all hear me? Okay. All right. Just making sure. So that there was enough food in the town the next city over. All of these people have been sent away. And as soon as they finish feeding them, Jesus tells the disciples to go to the other side. Get in a boat and leave. Watch this. You can never be in true danger following instructions from Jesus. How do you survive a storm? Pay attention to the words Jesus has said. My sound is gone. Y'all can't hear me? All this good teaching, y'all can't hear me? Half the people can hear me, the other half can't. Okay, I don't know. Yeah, I got thumbs up, then I got sounds out. All right. People that can hear me, pray for those that can't. All right. Follow the instructions of Jesus. I'm through. Follow the instructions of Jesus. I'm being good tonight. That you have to listen to what the word of Jesus says. Watch this. Anytime a storm arises, if you cannot live in the present, you have to take peace in the past. Watch this. There's no storm there. But what Jesus says is immediately, because people will try to take. Okay, I'm getting off on this success thing way too much. Most of us struggle because we're trying to teach from our successes the will of God. What are you trying to say? That the people are still eating. The Bible gives us insight to when Jesus puts the disciples out. Jesus had preached all day. And Jesus says, the people are now eating. Y'all let them go. The disciples leave the meeting. And Jesus by himself dismisses the crowd. Y'all don't want to talk to me. That sometimes before you can get it in your mind to take credit, Jesus will move you out the way. Oh, come on. It's like being in a relationship with somebody. You put all of the work trying to make them a good person, and then they leave you, and then they become good with the next person that they with, and then you mad because they better with the new person than they was with you. And if they'd have just been that person with you, then y'all would have worked out. But the truth of the matter is that it wasn't your success to take claim of. Mm-hmm. And you keep trying to act as if it's about them, but it's really about you. Your story has to be your story. Okay, I got it. The third one. It's right here in verse 23. Verse 23 says this. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. What's the third one? Solitude brings darkness. What the disciples was all together, but they wasn't with Jesus. I'm walking through this text. After he had dismissed them, he went into the mountains by himself to pray. Later that night, when it's nighttime, it gets dark. And when you are away from Jesus, it calls for dark times. Whew. See, that's where I'm trying to get people to understand about coming to church. I don't come to church because I'm straight and got all of my stuff together. I came to church messed up. Because if I could get right without him, I wouldn't have needed it.
Come on now.
Y'all don't want to talk to me tonight. That if I didn't have a relationship with God, you wouldn't be looking at who you looking at, because my favor that's on my life came from the connection I had with him. Okay, let me give it to you a different way. I was going to talk to my therapist, and when I was talking to my therapist, I told her that I felt like I was crazy, and I didn't understand why everybody else didn't understand that I didn't like the person I was at the time. And she told me this. That until you're not crazy no more, you won't understand what crazy really look like. Until you're uncomfortable with the darkness, you won't appreciate the presence of God on your life. Because when you're by yourself, it causes dark times to come. When you are without Jesus's presence, active and running in your life, you will have hard times.
Amen.
They went all day and night had came. Jesus on the side of the mountain praying, and they on a boat in water. Because when you by yourself without him, darkness always falls. Why are you saying that? It would have been nighttime anyway, because it ain't about that nighttime. It's about this spiritual darkness that you're struggling and dealing with, that you're struggling through, because you don't appreciate what the presence of God was, because you focused in this last season on feeding people.
Yeah.
But this ain't about them. That's a miracle. You're going to have to go. Y'all don't want to talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. After you realize you by yourself and it got dark, what's the next thing you realize? How do you survive a storm? Is that you have to realize that storms will arise. Storms arise. Verse 24, right here. It's right here. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. When it get dark, the wind start blowing. Okay, let me say it like this. When it rains, it pours. Yeah. Come on, y'all know if it, we say it a different way. If it ain't one thing, it's another. If you know, they used to struggle trying to figure out how things would happen in people's life. Because when you have a distant relationship with God, it makes it easier for storms to show up. Yeah. Oh, watch this. Can I bless y'all real quick? Can I drop this off extra? That when you put distance between you and Jesus, even when you're in his will, it makes it easier for the devil to approach you. You where he wanted you to be, doing what he wanted you to do, but because the devil didn't see Jesus with you, he came up on you like you was by yourself. My wife preached a sermon a while back called "Who Told You I Was Alone?" Well, the prophet, the young prophet, goes up to the window and sees this army that's around the kingdom. He feel like they're finna be beaten and taken over, but the prophet goes and tells him, "You don't see them? That's with us." And he lays hands on him and asks God to open his eyes. And what he does is he's seen God's army that had encamped around the enemy's army. Because the enemy never understands, watch this, where you are, he's always watching the presence of God in your life. That's why once you get dedicated to going with God, there's some people that don't approach you no more. Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me. When you say you finna do what's right and follow God, there's a group of people that act as if they don't want to talk to you no more. They don't want to deal with you no more. Your phone don't ring no more because you say you're trying to straighten up and fly right. But there's a season in your life you're going to have to get excited about just being with God. Because guess what? I bet everybody on that boat would have gave up everybody else on that boat if I can get Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I don't need other people with me if you can't help me get through my go through. Mm-hmm. People always say this, you know, I want my ride or die. I want somebody that's going to be with me through thick and thin. No, I need somebody that can help me get out of my thick and thin.
Yeah.
I don't need nobody that's going to go through foolishness with me. I need somebody that's going to snatch me out of some stupid stuff. Y'all don't want to talk to me because storms will arise. That we have to understand this, that you cannot continuously be caught off guard when storms show up.
Yeah.
Because some of us, I ain't talking about everybody. Don't disconnect on me too soon. Some of us are storm chasers. Some of us are totally fine until it's calm. And you uncomfortable in peace. So you go find a storm. Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me.
Okay.
See, I've lived long enough and experienced enough to know that deliverance from storms happen in three different ways. Can I give y'all these three different ways that God delivers you from storms? I'm glad y'all agreed to let me take a sidebar right here. The first way that God delivers you out of a storm is immediately. He takes you out of the storm immediately. That's in Mark 5 when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, and the Bible says immediately it dried up. That's one way God delivers you. The second way is gradually. That's gradually. Gradually is that way that the 10 lepers at the Jesus tells them, they say they wanted to be clean. Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says as the foreigner went on his way, he was healed. He didn't get healed in front of Jesus. He didn't wait until he got to the priest to get healed. But his faith in his walk is what healed. Y'all don't want to talk to me. See, some of us don't get delivered because we've gotten better and we're more anointed and we can shout better. You some of us then got delivered from some of that stuff because you can't take medicine and drink that at the same time. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Y'all don't want to talk to me. You got delivered because that stuff don't work with your system like it used to. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Some of us didn't get delivered because we got more anointed. Some of us got delivered because your stomach couldn't handle that kind of foolishness no more. Mm-hmm. You realize that you wasn't that good at it no more, and you got tired of getting caught. So you got delivered. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Mm-hmm. The third way God delivers you, watch this, is eternal. Y'all don't want to talk about that because that's when God chooses not to heal you and deliver you on this side. It takes you to the other side because we understand that in heaven, there is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no hurt. There is no pain, that they call it the land of no more. There's no more sickness, no more diseases. So whatever you die from on this side, on the other side, you don't get up. Y'all don't want to talk to me. That's enough to shout. Because when storms arise, God's only got three ways to take you out of them. Watch this. You might get sick on this side, but you're going to get up on the other side. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Let me move to the next one. Storms arise. Let me go to my number five. Number five is that the situation is suitable for saving. That soon as the storm showed up, Jesus showed up. Well, y'all, that's what we're supposed to shout right there. That's why I'd have took and stomped and hugged somebody and ran around the building two times. That right after the storm shows up. Right here. I'm right here in verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Shortly. Wait, hold on. Because in verse 23, you said later that night. But Jesus don't show up. Watch this. When Jesus shows up, there's always a little light to shine. Because Jesus walking on water and it's pitch black, you can't see him. Jesus always leaves you with a little glimmer of hope to know he's in the saving bit. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Jesus ain't one of them people that'll sneak up on you like a storm. The Bible says, I didn't make this up. It's in the book. If you didn't tie it out, it's right here. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went to them walking on the lake. Your situation. You want to understand what a presence of God can be shown in your life? Find an area that you need deliverance in. Yeah. And it's suitable for saving. He's a master savior. He can come save you in no matter what your situation is. Well, what are you trying to say, preacher? What are you talking about on this Tuesday night? I'm trying to tell you that if you want to see the presence of God, you have to acknowledge that them storms are normal. I don't want to be in a storm all of my life. I don't want to deal with a storm all of my life. People don't understand my views on certain things when it comes to religious views and where I feel like God stands on certain stuff. Because I feel like this is just me. Y'all stone me later and throw me out overboard. But this is where I feel about it, is that God's deliverance will come and approach you wherever you need it to be.
Thank you, Lord.
It's my job to give you the word. Your application of the word is upon you. Y'all don't. The storm wasn't abnormal for C. Abnormality didn't happen until Jesus started walking up on. Okay. Can I give you the two sides of the situation and make your situation suitable for saving? Is that the only abnormal thing happening in the text so far is Jesus is coming through scrolling on what's trying to kill the disciples. Before he's worked out their situation, he's coming through walking on what they think is trying to kill him. Isn't God that amazing?
Yes, he is.
That the picture perfect example of I can handle what you're going through is he's walking on what's trying to kill you. I'm through. I can't go no farther because I'm gonna start hollering and flip this table over. I should have been in the room tonight. That you are struggling trying to handle water by yourself. But you have to understand that sometimes it's the perfect conditions for saving that makes the presence of God appear in your life. It was never about the water. It was never about the winds. All of this happened so you can see Jesus conquering what you're going through while you go through it. They're not doubting the power of Jesus. He's not on the boat. Oh, come here, somebody. Because the first time you was in this situation, you wasn't in Mark 14. You was in Mark 4. You wasn't in Matthew 14. You was in Mark 4. In Mark 4, it was different in a storm. He was in the back of the boat. You could have woke him up. You had to wake him up. And he spoke to the winds and waves. That was a different kind of storm. This time you on the boat and you don't know where he at. Boy, I'm doing better than anything y'all saying. Amen. That some of us are struggling because your situation has been designed to make you think that this is to take you out. But what you did was, qualify me for a miracle. God, dog. See, we spend so much time trying to get the devil to leave us alone. But if it hadn't have been for this attack, Jesus might not have showed up. That my presence and my relationship with God gets stronger when I'm attacked by somebody that think that he can come between. Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low. Can't nothing stop me. Because guess what? My relationship with him and the situation he's put me in made me suitable. That sometimes we have to shout about the fact that we are in situations and stuff, and the stuff we going through in our life is what watch this, somebody, that you it qualified you. that the storm that you're going through is what qualified you for the miracle.
Yeah.
You said you didn't know why you had to go through that, but it's your go through that made you right where you are and put you in the right place at the right time. Because if you'd have stayed on the shore, he would have walked past you. But because you were in the middle of the ocean, because you were in the middle of hell, you are in the middle of the situation that you go through, it made you suitable for a presence.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I put some weight on it? That there's a non-profit organization in the United States that's called the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Make-A-Wish Foundation, and God just gave me this. It ain't even in my notes. The Make-A-Wish Foundation, they literally go around taking children that are dying, and they have these magical wishes that if I can just see this person, what do you want? I just want to do this. I just want to see this. And what they don't understand is that it might seem strange to us, But if I had never been in this situation, the foundation wouldn't have made the presence of the person I needed to see show up. Y'all don't want to talk to me. That if you want, if you're a sick child and you'll sign up for Make-A-Wish, they'll bring LeBron and have him come to your bedside in the hospital, have him sign and stuff. But watch this. But the mama was praying away the cancer. The mama was praying away the disease. But it was because of the sickness that got you in the situation to be able to receive a miracle. Y'all don't want to talk to me. That sometimes what you're praying away is what is actually attracting the presence of God. Can I put a little weight on it? I can't go to my next one because if I do, I'm gonna start shouting and we're gonna have to end early. Can I put a little weight on this one a little bit more?
Okay, go ahead.
That, watch this, y'all. That the text says this in verse 22 and 23. 23 and 24 is that what he was saying is that Jesus went into the mountains. The mountains. Mountains are designed to be high. That's why they're called mountains. If not, they're called land. But the mountains, because they're up. He said, the Bible says that when nighttime fell, Jesus went into the mountains to pray. Watch this. Watch this. Jesus is up high praying. They down low on the sea. Jesus opens his eyes from praying and sees them in a storm.
Yeah,
y'all don't want to talk to me. Y'all don't. Because if he hadn't have been where he was, he might not have naturally seen me in the predicament I'm in. Okay. Can I put a little bit more weight on? I promise y'all, I'm trying my best to stop, but I can't. That sometimes it's not the absence of God or the absence of Jesus that causes the problem. The issue is when you're not where he told you to be. Oh, can I get some parents to come close for me real quick? Because the problem wasn't that they were not with Jesus, because the Bible says that Jesus made them get in the boat and told them to go. That wasn't a problem. He designed it to not be with them. But watch this, y'all. Ooh. The thing was that he knew he could see them from the mountain.
Come on now. Come on.
And some of us struggle not because we're in the ocean. Some of us don't struggle because we didn't listen to God. Some of us struggle because you didn't follow the directions the way that he told you to. And where he went, he should be able to see you. Come on, parents. When I look out my window, I should be able to see you. Don't go too far. I should be able to see you from here.
Yeah.
I didn't send you to leave me. I sent you so I could see you when I get to where I'm going.
Yeah.
Okay, can I drop this one? I'm gonna drop it. I ain't got no help, but the problem with most of us is that we are trying to figure out how to get out of the storm. When Jesus started walking, you missed the whole logic of the fact that they've been on this ocean half the day.
Yes.
How Jesus catch up with them? Walking. He walking and caught up with a boat that's been going in the same direction since he put them in there. Can I drop this? I got to. Most of us are struggling because you're trying to figure out how would Jesus get here?
Yeah.
That this ain't Jesus because I left him back there. Ooh, come on, somebody. You know you didn't try to leave him in the car. Let me go do this and then God, I'll talk to you later. Let me. God, don't judge me. I'm not what I used to be. But I ain't where I should be. Yeah. Okay. I got one more. I got to give you one more. I can't leave you right there when Jesus show up. Because if I leave you right there when Jesus show up, you're gonna be like the disciples were. Number six. Watch this. Verse 26 says this. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Watch what they said. It's a ghost. They said and cried out in fear. The issue wasn't walking on water. The issue was walking. Okay. Number six. Solutions seem strange. Watch this. Once your situation gets suitable for saving, the solution never looks like what you thought it should.
Yeah.
I'm sick of these saints that got solutions for every problem that they get themselves into. You trying to tell God what you trying to give God the list of qualifications to qualify you to be at the track and place that you want God to be. But there's some of us that the solution shouldn't have to look like what you thought it. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You trying to give God the okay to bless you. Solution seems strange. Watch this, y'all. Because when you're in a storm, the abnormal seems normal. When you're going through something, crazy stuff seems to drop out of nowhere. When you're going through something, y'all don't want to talk to me tonight? When you really catching hell, if I'm going to die in a storm, Lord, don't let a ghost come. I got storms, I got winds and ghosts.
Right.
I got winds and I got to fight ghosts, winds, rains. So am I going to drown? I'm scared to death. Verse 27. This is it. Because after your situation is suitable for saving, you have to realize that solution seems strange. That you can't go the way that you wanted it to go. You can't finagle your way out of this one.
Yeah.
Let me drop this in and then I'm gonna get to my last point and I'm gonna drop it and we through. Is that in this next season,
come on, man.
You got to stop plotting and start praying. Quit finagling. Because you can't keep acting unsaved and hiding and think God's going to bless you in public. This time God says, ooh.
Come on.
God says, I'm sick of conviction. I'm seeking conversion. Because if you were really ready for me, you would know it's me when I showed up. Solution seems strange. This is the last one. Last one. I'm on number 7. I got through 7 of them tonight. I did good. Number 7. Salvation comes to the unsaved. Where is that at in this text? Jesus says this. In part of verse 26, they said and cried out in fear. Verse 27. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Salvation comes to the unsaved. Well, I thought they was disciples. They were scared. They were in a situation that anytime you're in a storm and need saving. Okay, let me use different terms. Deliverance comes to those that need to be delivered. That your struggle is not because you ain't going through nothing. It's your go through that has learned and taught you everything that you know today. Sometimes we struggle because we refuse to get the help we need because you're refusing to acknowledge you're in the situation you're in. Okay, let me pause, bring it back, come to you a different way. They're in a boat. Storm arise. While they're trying to save their life on the boat, somebody yells out, it's a ghost. All we know, we don't know. The Bible does not give us any insight to how they reacted to the storm. The only time it brings us a side-by-side comparison of their reactions is when Jesus shows up. Because when Jesus shows up, y'all walk with me. When Jesus shows up is the first time that they made a noise. And watch this. Their noise gather the attention of Jesus. Well, preacher, why are you saying that? That's why I keep telling y'all I can't have dead church in 2020. Because it's your noise that get his attention. This same story, I believe, is in Luke or Matthew or John. It's in one of the other, it's one of the other gospels. He literally says that Jesus was walking past them. What got their attention, what got Jesus' attention was the noise they made. Mm-hmm. When you going through your go-through, you got to make some kind of noise. I'm sick of silent saints. It don't take all of that. It don't take all that for you. But when I'm trying to get his attention, I'm going to make some noise. Y'all don't want to talk to me. See, okay. Can I give y'all an example of how you should holler? Y'all remember them old Publishers Clearing House commercials where the man walk up to the door with the big old check? He packing the big old check. He knock on the door and they answer the door. They don't say, "Well, thank you. Thank you for coming. Do y'all want some tea or anything?" No. Because I seen one of them about 3 years ago. They knocked on the lady door. She had a praise break right there in her front door. She ain't need no organ. She ain't need no piano. She ain't need no drums. Because by the time they got her together, because she had been praying for that. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Because when you've put some noise on it, when he shows up, you ought to make some. Okay, let me pause, rewind, and work it like the disciples did. When trouble show up, you ought to start making noise to get his attention, because he walking. And Jesus is not a kidnapper. He ain't gonna make you do nothing you don't want to do. It wasn't until they made noise that salvation came to the y'all don't want to talk to me. I'm not gonna holler tonight. Nope, I'm not gonna do it. Nope. I'm ending this series. That if you're going to watch your mouth in this season, y'all thought I had got off my series, that if you're going to watch your mouth in this season, you better open it up and be able to make some noise. Because in this season, if you don't make noise, he going to walk right past you. You're going to act like he wasn't in the room, but he walked past you because you was too quiet. Come on, somebody. You ever been somewhere and they was trying to figure out why you didn't tell me you was there? You should have said something. If you were hungry, you should have said something. They said like this, that the squeaky wheel get the oil. If you want something this season, you better open up your mouth and make some noise. Because in this season, you're going to have to make some noise because he's walking on by. And salvation comes to the unsaved. If you're going through a storm, the last thing you ought to do is be quiet.
Amen.
I told somebody this other day. They were telling me about our things at the church. And y'all might have seen it on Facebook. It ain't important. Lady told me that us wearing all white on the first Sunday in July was you know, stupid. And she had her own reasons for it. And my analogy that I came back with her was this. That if us wearing all white to show unity for what we're trying to do, to speak out for what we're trying to do as a ministry, if that's done, then go to the Texans game and tell all of them to take off them losing jerseys and throw them away.
Wait a minute.
Don't start right now. I got Bible. Because them wearing them to show their support for the team that they're a part of don't make no sense. Because it's not, watch this, it's not about physically being there. It's when you look around the room and you see you ain't by yourself.
Yeah.
That understanding this, I'm through. Let me close my book. The understanding this, that God and Jesus both call us sheep. And to understand that the only weapon that sheep have is not their body. It's not their anger. It's their mouth. Watch this. The only weapon that sheep have is their mouth. And they ain't good by themselves. Because what they have to do is that they keep in groups. That's why you have to herd sheep together. Because when the wolf shows up, they can't fight the wolf. They can't go back at the wolf. They ain't got nothing for the wolf besides their mouth. And what they mouth do is not to bite. It's to make noise. Y'all don't want to shout with me. That the shepherd has to stay close enough to the sheep that when all of the sheep start making noise, he gets the shepherd's attention. And most of us have not gotten Jesus's attention because you refuse to make enough noise to get his. You done been getting beat up because you've been too quiet. And you trying to figure out how to survive this storm, but you ain't learned to shout in the middle of this. Okay, I'm through.